and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can I transfer my powers to someone today? I'm feeling I'm tired.
Your superpowers?
It's Friday. Do I have a vice president?
Oh.
6 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right, a big Friday show coming up. John Finkelstein joins us in hours 2 and 3 from Boston.
Yes.
Because he's up there doing something and... something. The studio's not available this hour. I don't...
Whatever.
Okay, so it'll be a two-hour Friday with Fugle saying.
We appreciate the Revolution Boston for accommodating our request.
Of course we do. Thank you, Revolution.
We love our affiliate there, but just in hours 2 and 3.
All right. We have those $50 Pro Followers gift cards just in time for Valentine's Day for the best calls today. By the way, you know that you're a loser? When you, who could care less about me, actually said very empathetically yesterday, are you going to be okay on Valentine's Day?
I did say that, didn't I?
Yes. I'm like, oh, when is it? Oh, sure. Is it Monday? It's Monday. Here's how you know you're a loser. I got Pro Flowers from...
Pro Flowers.
Thanking me from... And I got Sherry's Berries from...
Sherry's Berries,
thanking me.
Did you get a pajamagram?
That's the closest romantic relationship I have is with my sponsors, who love me, and I love them. Okay.
Did you get a pajamagram?
At least no one's throwing shoes at me. No, I did not get a... Where are my pajamagrams, for God's sake?
You need a hoodie footy.
What? Where's my hoodie footy? Oh.
Blast.
All right. We have Representative Adam Smith of the great state of Washington coming up, and Jane Velez Mitchell of CNN.
JVM.
By the way, I was on CNN Headline News yesterday on the Joy Behar show, and shut up about my hair. I know, for God's sakes. What are they saying in the chat room? I look like Rosanna Dana.
Yeah.
Listen, my Japanese hair straightening went awry. I'm fixing it. Just relax, everybody.
How do you fix that?
As someone said yesterday in the chat room, apparently my Japanese hair straightening was outsourced to China, and I got the... I got the cut rate. Something went awry. I did it at home with a...
With a lilt home perm.
It does look like the home perm my mom gave me in the 70s. Remember where she ripped my bangs out?
Mm-hmm.
I told you that story.
Yeah, you did.
My Republican mom and I said, Mom, what is this? I had these little, like, sprouty things on the top of my forehead, on top of looking like Link from Monswan.
Yeah.
And the, the Bane or the Boner spray-on tan.
And the old nose.
Ooh, and the original nose. Yikes. But I had these little sprouty. I was like, Mom, what is that? And she just looked at it. She goes like this, oh, dear, I had that when I was your age, too. Republicans, liars. Oh, she was covering up her malfeasance.
And the bloody spots from when she ripped out the unibrow.
Oh, the first time she tweezed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was, because I did look like Brezhnev as a middle schooler.
Yes.
And that was, wow. There has to be some sort of UN accord against that, whatever that. That tweezing took hours, the first tweezing. I had a unibrow. There was no break in my eyebrow. It just was like one.
Is anybody else in your family this hairy?
No, I don't know that.
Where did it come from?
I don't know. I was abandoned by wolves, raised by Republicans. You know the story. All right. What the hell is going on in Egypt, for God's sake?
That was messed up yesterday.
The White House is signaling disappointment. Disappointed! With Hosni Mubarak's decision to stop short of meeting protesters, demands he step down at once. Who can keep up at this point? Yesterday, like, all the signals were there. In fact, it seemed like the signals of a military coup. The military told protesters you were going to get your demands will be met later. An Egyptian official said he was going to step down. I mean, even obviously the CIA director said he was going to step down. And
well, okay. The CIA director came out later on in the day and said, yeah, I only got that from media reports. He didn't get that from intelligence. He only got that from what NBC was reporting.
Yeah.
So that was a little hinky on his part.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is you don't know where what's coming from where. Showing deepening dismay, President Obama questioning whether Mubarak's promised transfer of power has any credibility or meaning. He challenged Mubarak to explain the path toward democracy to its people and the world. without naming Mubarak directly, but I think we know who we're disappointed in. He issued a written statement last night, which he criticized the leader for lack of clarity and direction. He said too many Egyptians remain unconvinced that the government is serious about a genuine transition to democracy. It's the responsibility of the government to speak clearly to the Egyptian people and the world. The Egyptian government must put forward a credible, concrete, unequivocal path toward genuine democracy, is what the president said yesterday. So, yeah, what the hell is happening today? Is anyone laying bets on what's going on today?
Christiane Amanpour is reporting that Mubarak has left Cairo. He is still in Egypt as a figurehead president, but he's left the city of Cairo. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I think he should hush about dying on Egyptian soil when the effigies are springing up at an alarming rate. He provoked rage yesterday. The other thing, I mean, obviously the protesters were expecting that. So there were just these looks of shock, and then the shoes, you know, when the shoes come out. He provoked rage on Egypt's street when he said he would hand over powers to... Well, first of all, like, who's that fooling? To his vice president, the torture guy? And he's like, I'll be in charge of the transition here, don't you worry. The Armed Forces High Command had earlier issued a communique number one, is what they're calling it, declaring it was taking control of the nation in what some call a military coup. That's what it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
That did not have Suleiman or Mubarak's blessing. Mubarak portrayed himself as a patriot war hero overseeing an orderly transition until the election. Right.
Uh-huh.
Waving shoes in the air in a dramatic Arab show of content, the crowds in central Cairo chanted down, down Hosni Mubarak. Asked if he would step down, an Egyptian official had told Reuters before the speech, most probably. So I don't even think they knew what the hell was going on exactly. But obviously Mubarak taking a direct shot at, you know, probably the U.S. He said, your demands are legitimate and just. There is no shame in hearing your voices and opinions, but I refuse any and all dictations from abroad. But, you know, and this is what Anderson Cooper's been talking about, though. They've been trying to put that out there, that this is fomented by foreign forces. Clearly, all of these people are not being directed by America or anybody else.
The rest of the world can see that, and they can see that. It's just... Yeah. You know, denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Yeah.
Get it?
You can't do that joke enough, can you? protester said the army is worried that tomorrow, on Friday, today, the people will overpower state buildings. The army will not be able to fire back. The army is now pressuring Mubarak to resolve the situation. I mean, I don't know what the hell is going to happen today. They said Egypt's army said it would lift emergency law.
Mm-hmm.
Promised a fair presidential election, guaranteed other concessions to protesters, but signaled that it wanted them off the streets. So,
good luck
everybody,
with that.
That's what I'm saying, but everybody is sort of looking to the military now, and he doesn't seem to somebody speaking of Mubarak there said he doesn't seem to understand the magnitude of what's happening in Egypt. I think at this point it will not suffice. He has transferred authority to Suleiman while somehow retaining his position as ruler. Yeah, I don't think anybody even knows what this means. I mean, first of all, if ABC's report's correct, he's left Cairo.
Yeah.
I mean, because he still called himself president, so he's obviously...
He's a figurehead president. That's what Christiane Amanpour is reporting.
Yeah. This is Mubarak yesterday.
I gave the powers of the presidential powers to the vice president.
I don't think anybody's buying this whole thing, do you?
No.
I don't...
This is very kangaroo court in appearance, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people are hearkening back. As we've said, he's been in power, 30 years? Mm-hmm. Isn't this what he said in the beginning? Like, oh, I'm just going to be in charge here in the meantime, for stability reasons. And, you know, and then, hello, 30 years later. I mean, so that's why people obviously don't trust what he's doing.
Right. You can have stability and change presidents. We do it here in America all the time.
Boy, howdy. Okay, Mubarak again.
وَلَنْ أَقْبَرُهُ أَبَدًا. This is something that I will never accept, to listen to something that is dictated to me from a foreign source, no matter what the source is.
This is... Yeah, this is what they've been trying. Either that the protesters are paid, that this is coming from, this is being fomented by outside forces.
How can hundreds of thousands, even millions of people be paid?
Yeah, that the violence is coming from them, and obviously not these, I mean, you know, it obviously is the opposite of what's true. It's
right.
The pro-Mubarak forces that have been paid.
We have it on tape.
Yeah, the pro-government thugs, as they've been called. Mubarak again, yes.
I'm aware of the danger of this intersection, and I'm convinced that Egypt is going through a very crucial moment of history.
Yes.
Compute 38.
A moment where it appears very subtly to be crucial that you leave is what is what appears to be what's crucial. I think that's what it is kind of subtle, Chris, but the chant was leave. So mm-hmm. I think from that what I would take
is that he should leave.
That's what I would take. You know, crowds can be subtle like that. Okay.
Or at least go on vacation, a long vacation in Alexandria along the Mediterranean.
Something.
Come on.
Okay, here is a torture guy, Suleiman. He's not Octodad, by the way. No relation.
No. Octomom did not have a dad.
No.
The youth and the heroes of Egypt, go back home. Go back to your work. Do not listen to the satellite television stations whose main purpose is to fuel sedition and drive a wedge among the people.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see. You're heroes. Now go home and shut the TV off. Don't. Stop it.
Don't. Just,
stop it.
Yeah, just...
Were their speeches a little patronizing? Well, yeah. Barak was the whole daddy thing. It's the whole daddy. I'm the daddy. Just now. Stop it.
Yes.
Stop.
Like, pipe down.
Like,
you.
Like these millions of people are like toddlers spinning on their back in Walmart. Okay. Stop. Okay. That's it now. Time out. Listen. I'm not kidding.
Wow. That's a big crowd.
Yeah. Any parent recognizes what's happening here. This is just on a large scale of when you start making escalating threats. Listen. I'm not kidding.
Don't
you
make me pull this car over.
Listen to me. Go. Turn off the TV. Go. Stop it. Go home. Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's not working.
All right, we will stay abreast of fast-moving developments. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, as we said, the $50 Pro Flowers gift certificate. This is the day, because Valentine's Day is Monday.
Yeah.
So today's your deadline. All right, back with all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Because she looks like a total prostitute.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Baby got ballet.
P90X not going to be happy you played this song.
Why?
I can crack a walnut with that sucker.
Yeah.
Thank you, P90X.
You have a spectacular ass.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Why, thank you.
You do.
I have a good friend here that's doing P90X here in L.A. Loves it. Is getting those rock hard abs and the ace.
It's
click
a wonderful
program. Click on the banner ad at stephaniemiller.com. Seriously, you'll love it.
Yes.
All right. Oh, by the way, guess what? My love life is looking up. I did not get Pro Flowers from Pro Flowers this year.
Really?
I got them from the gang at the Ustream chat room.
Yay,
thank
Ustream
you.
Chat room.
Thank you, chat room at stephaniemiller.com. I have only my sponsors and my chat room to keep me warm this Valentine's Day. That's so sad.
I think it was organized by Chicago Tony.
Thank you, Chicago Tony.
Yes.
Let's see. Thanks for all the great show. This happy Valentine's Day. Flowers for Steph, a bear for Chris, chocolates for Jim, lavender spot trio for Rebecca, the game at the Ustream chat room. Thank you, Tony.
They love you. They
are
really
my virtual lovers. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Michael in L.A. Hi, Michael.
I got some breaking news, but first I share your love of anti-Valentine's Day.
It's such pressure. Do you need to remind me I'm a loser?
And it's it really sucks for me because it's my birthday. So me and my friends are going to go out Tuesday night and celebrate anti-Valentine's. You're welcome to come. I'm in L.A.
Thanks. Okay.
So the breaking news is...
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
Breaking news. You know, I'm thinking since Republicans think that gayness should be outlawed, maybe they should go to the U.K. because a court in the U.K. has ordered that a man can no longer have gay sex because he has a low IQ. The court reasoned that he wasn't capable of understanding what risky behavior is.
And the court
also said that they feared that if they tried to teach him sex education, that it would just confuse him.
Ah, I see. Yeah,
sadly.
It is confusing. What goes where? It's very confusing, gay sex.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Wow. Hey, I can compete with that. We have our own crazies here in America.
Yep.
A Republican official has warned that gay pirates are invading Tampa.
Gay pirates?
Arr. Seriously.
Gay pirates.
Listen, we try to do a public service for all y'all's listening in the Tampa area. Eugene Delgadio, that's his name, Republican official from Virginia, apparently.
Arr.
Best known for claiming that gay TSA agents were getting their jollies patting down male passengers' junk.
Oh, him. I remember him, yeah.
Because there's nothing sexier than airport security. You know, that's kind of a turn-on for everybody.
That's where I go for my jollies.
Just the lighting alone.
Oh, yeah, terrific. That fluorescent lighting is so
terrific.
Awesome.
Is sending out a letter to his constituents claiming that radical homosexual pirates have invaded Tampa. And are roaming the streets.
They're roaming freely.
They're marauding gay pirates in Tampa.
Well, pirates are known to maraud from time to time.
Yeah, well, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
He writes, January 29th is the 106th annual Gasparilla Pirate Fest in Tampa Bay, Florida. The event is a full 2 weeks of seemingly family-oriented events. But in recent years...
There's a seedy underbelly?
Apparently.
Oh, dear.
Who doesn't think pirate activities? That's what when I think pirate activities, I think family. Right away. Who doesn't? You do that anyway with your kids, right? Make them walk the plank, drink rum.
Yeah. Johnny Depp did act kind of gay in that movie. In that pirate movie.
Who thinks a pirate fest is a family thing anyway? I don't know.
I don't know.
Uh-huh. But in recent years, radical homosexuals, and that's capitalized. So they're, in caps, radical homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
Have been intent on turning it into a 2-week alcohol-fueled display of public debauchery. That's kind of what pirating was originally, isn't it? It's drunken debauchery, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Involves, rums and looting and
pirates like for me, that sort of thing.
Drinking games of brown liquor and, stuff like that.
Is rum brown? Some rum is.
I believe so.
Okay.
A 2-week alcohol-fueled display of public debauchery. Organizers started by purposely making the parade route zigzag so no one could call it a straight parade.
You're kidding me. Oh, my God.
Okay, that's what that's what that guy's doing for all y'alls.
An elected official?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And he's in charge of stuff.
Protecting presumably children in Tampa from marauding gay pirates.
Marauding.
Sure. Okay. I believe he previously had said parade floats in general are just made to recruit homosexuals. Because there's something about the college kids are unsuspectingly forced to make floats and drink, and then they're...
And then they have gay sex?
Gay. Yes. Okay, 29... I think you can see the connection.
Are they pirates of the butt variety?
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You want to see something really hot? Check out Mama. Now that's a woman.
Oh, a lot of gay pirates from Tampa on hold. All right, we'll get to that. Who knew? 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lots of fast breaking news. One of our personal favorites in Congress, Representative Adam Smith from the great state of Washington. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on. First of all, what's happening in Egypt? I mean, this is really, you know, in something that has already been so fast moving and confusing. I mean, what do you think is going to happen today? And what's your take on it?
Well, the most important thing to know is nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. I mean, we got briefed 2 days ago in the Armed Services Committee at a time when it looked like, okay, Mubarak, and the whole conversation was Mubarak looks like he's, you know, weathered the storm. He's going to hang on. They're trying to make some transition, you know, blah, blah, blah. We got briefed the next day and like, oh my goodness, he's stepping down. He's moving on. You know, we're going to transition out. And then, of course, this morning we're back to 2 days ago.
Well,
so,
Let me just say, first of all, Congressman, doesn't this right away disprove the claim that America is somehow directing what's happening there?
I would hope so. I think the problem is that perception has been locked in from decades prior, and it's just taking a while for, I think, the rest of the world to understand, look, we don't manipulate these things anymore. You know, we are interested in, you know, Egypt being as peaceful, stable, open, and free as it possibly can be. There's a limited amount we can do to bring that about, but to the extent we can help, we're here to help. And I think that has to be our message.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to hand it to John McCain yesterday, who, you know, stood with America, with the president on this. He said, President Mubarak's announcement he will remain in power is deeply unfortunate and troubling. The voices of the Egyptian people are growing louder and more unified, and they are not demanding partial transfers of power or minor adjustments to the current government. They're calling for President Mubarak to step down. And I always think it's important to speak with one voice, you know, when we're in a situation like this that obviously is, you know, very critical for us and for the rest of the world.
Well, as you well know, I mean, John McCain has had a very interesting career of bouncing all around the spectrum here. But at many, many points, he is the one rare thing back here, and that is a statesman who puts, you know, principle and the interests of the country above party. And he's not out there trying to take cheap shots at our president in a very, very difficult time. He's trying to support us and move the policy forward. And I think he needs to be applauded for that.
Well, that's what I have to say. And not that I was surprised, Congressman, but of course I tuned into Rush Limbaugh yesterday, and it literally sounds like they just are gloating. Anything that seems like it might make the president look bad or America look bad. I'm like, what? How did we get here? How did we get to where we're, you know, cheering America losing the Olympics because it makes the president look bad? Or, I mean, it just, you know, this is a very, very, as you say, I mean, this is obviously very critical for not only millions of Egyptians, but the entire Middle East, for, you know, and America.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the conservative movement is in a very odd place right now. In fact, there was the Great Onion article from like last week or something about how the Republicans were standing up and opposing President Obama's plan to stop the asteroid from striking the Earth.
Yes, I saw that.
you know, I think you have that knee-jerk reaction that they see everything within the frame of, can we use this to attack the president? And as a consequence, they you know, really don't have much in the way of a platform to offer. I mean, to attack the president over what's going on in Egypt is ridiculous. As we said, we don't control what's going on in Egypt. I think the president has set the exact right tone. We're with the Egyptian people. They need greater freedom, greater opportunity. We're simply not in a position to reach in and force that to happen because, I mean, that would be kind of contradictory. An outside power controlling the country of Egypt because we want the people of Egypt to have greater freedom.
Yep.
So I think the president has struck the right tone here. We're trying to be helpful where we can, and I think many of the Republicans, certainly, you know, Limbaugh leading the fray here, have embarrassed themselves and just simply, you know, attacking the president for the sake of attacking him at a time when we need to be unified.
Well, and particularly when, you know, you almost literally watching this, you know, you can feel the hopes and dreams and aspirations of the Egyptian people. And, you know, how is Rush Limbaugh sitting there celebrating that, you know, what was obviously crushing and heartbreaking yesterday for millions of Egyptians, you know, indeed, and anybody around the world that supports their aspirations and freedom. I mean, it just was a weird disconnect. Your friend Michelle Bachmann spoke at the conservative conference there.
Let me ask you just one quick question. Was she looking at the camera?
Presumably. That has been corrected, yes.
Yeah.
Her inability to look at the right camera. But she, you know, but again, I feel like she's, you know, sometimes they inadvertently say it. I think she said, this is all about making, you know, President Obama one-term president. We're all about winning in 2012. And I thought, that's exactly right. And so far, they're governing like that. They're not about governing. They're about winning in 2012. It's all politics so far.
Yeah, they're off to a very, very slow start here in terms of getting anything done. I mean, the couple of bills they put up last week were defeated by some of their own members. They can't figure out what they're doing on the appropriations and the budget process, and I think that's because, you know, the reality of dealing with these issues, of actually dealing with them, is running smack into the campaign rhetoric where they acted during the course of the last 2 years like if they were in charge, somehow magically all these problems would go away, instead of actually honestly confronting the choices that we in the Democratic Party for the last 2 years confronted.
Yeah.
What to do to stop our financial institutions from collapsing, what to do to stop our economy from going over to the edge into a Great Depression, you know, how to deal with the debt. All these issues that we've had to substantively deal with, they've just been popping off for the last 2 years. Now they actually have to put something on the table, and they can't do it.
Yeah, and I have to say that if this were a foot race, somebody tied their shoelaces together. And even Politico, the headline is Growing Pains, GOP Stumbles. It usually takes a lot longer for the party in charge to start with the finger-pointing, the failed votes, and the backpedaling on campaign promises. But the House Republican majority has already had two failed floor votes, is experiencing a backlash on the right over spending cuts, and has bypassed the committee process it once praised for taking up major bills. And that's all just this week.
Right.
That's the Politico story.
The very first bill that they offered, of course, famously, was the bill to get those two members sworn in, which totally bypassed the committee process, and they gave no notice to anybody about it.
Right.
So, I mean, one thing I would instruct anyone who's planning on taking over the House, go easy on the promises about how perfectly and smoothly you're going to run this place.
Yeah.
It's 435 people. It's 435 independent contractors who all think they ought to be in charge. It is not an easy place to run. So just, you know, set expectations a little bit lower before you come in would be my recommendation.
The only House Republican that would be quoted by Politico, albeit on the condition of anonymity, said, obviously, it's been a tough first month. We're like teenagers whose voice is just starting to change. And we've got some growing up to do.
Oh, that's oh so encouraging for the people who are running the United States House of Representatives.
It reminds me of those Scott McClellan voice cracks. That's what the first month of the Republic.
Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Let's look at the budget as one of the exhibits. I mean, I guess someone described it as now they've gone back, and added a bunch of cuts on top of cuts, and someone described it as basically swinging a meat axe blindly at the budget.
Well, I think that's true. Let me just say one thing. I hope that what comes out of this first month is the fact that to govern this place, we're going to need Republicans and Democrats at least having some kind of a conversation, and that the Republican majority in the House will, you know, back off of the notion that they have all the right answers and just need to go forward, and they'll actually start working with us, hopefully working with the President and the Senate. But yeah, on the budget, you know, I mean, they're trying to, you know, just dealing with the FY11 budget, which we're now 4 months in, and we're trying to get an appropriations bill passed. They want to cut $100 billion out of it. And somebody had to point out, well, two things. One, we're already halfway into it. So if you cut $100 billion, you're really cutting $200 billion. Second of all, the spending that we're taking care of here is roughly $1 trillion. The federal government spends $3.5 trillion. There is a lot of spending that is not contained in the discretionary budget, and you can't balance it all on that, you know, roughly 40% of the budget. I mean, getting educated on exactly how this budget works is important if you're going to try to get the deficit under control, which I think is a very, very important goal. We need to do that, but we need to do so, I think, with greater understanding of what the actual facts are in terms of how the budget works.
Yep. Congressman, let's look at the silver lining, and that would have to be the recovery of your colleague Gabrielle Giffords. It's nice to hear a somewhat hopeful story in politics, but I mean, obviously the fact that she's talking and seems to be recovering rapidly, certainly heartwarming news.
Yeah, and I had a chance to go see her last Friday and Saturday. Went down to Texas for a couple things, but mostly to see her. She looked great. And, yeah, the recovery is way ahead of anybody's schedule. I mean, she's still got a lot of hard work ahead, but we all know she's going to do it, and she's going to come back and keep doing her job, because that's the other thing that we always want people to remember. She is a very, very good member of Congress.
Yeah.
I serve with her on the Armed Services Committee. She also does work on science and energy. I mean, every policy you can imagine, she's out front and pushing in the right direction, just incredibly dynamic. We need her back here, and we're all looking forward to when she returns.
Yeah, and how about her staff? We did a story yesterday that, a constituent needed help getting their child out of, their daughter out of Cairo safely, and got no help from, unfortunately, the two senators from Arizona, but Gabrielle Giffords' staff was able to, get the daughter out overnight, literally. So what, Congressman, I didn't realize you had seen her. Was she talking when you were visiting? Was she able to talk yet? Or?
Yeah, she was in speech therapy and working on that. We don't get too much into the details,
right.
But she looked great and definitely, you know, very cognitive, understanding, moving forward. So, and yeah, her staff is fabulous, and that's the thing that everyone also needs to understand. Her district is still being very, very well represented, working hard to look after her constituents. You know, as I said, I'm on the Armed Services Committee. The issues that Gabby's been working on are still being pushed by her staff, and we're still taking care of the things that she's been working on for the people of her district down there in Tucson.
Yeah, well, Congressman, that's I think it's terrific. I know the solidarity that you and you certainly Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Nancy Pelosi and others have shown. I'm sure that means a lot to her. I mean, is she? I don't want to get too into the. I know you can't get too into the details, but I mean, just she realizes it's you and all that, right?
Yeah, she knows the people who are talking to her without question.
So yeah, I'm sure that's because I know that. Gosh, the first time that story alone, the first time she opened her eyes, that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Speaker Pelosi had told at the time was just incredible.
Well, I think people understand, and doing a lot of the military work that I do, I've talked with a lot of folks who have, gone through these types of injuries. And certainly initially, it's a huge challenge, but the amount of recovery that the human body is capable of. I mean, I've spoken to people who had the exact same type of, bullet wound to that part of the head who have, come back up, walking, talking, doing everything they did before. I mean, it takes a while and it takes a lot of hard work. But the human body is an amazing thing when it comes to recovery.
Well, Congressman, please, the next time you see her, give her all of our love and all my listeners, because I know everybody is so sort of, personally, emotionally involved in this story. Tell her we're all rooting for her.
Absolutely. And that means a lot. That helps her recover, and we really appreciate it.
All right. Representative Adam Smith, always a pleasure, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right.
Appreciate it.
There he goes. Representative, I love him.
Yeah, I do, too. He's so good.
Awesome. What's not awesome about him?
I
okay.
know. I want him as my congressman.
All right. We have gay pirates from Tampa on the line. And
oh, boy. Are they marauding?
I will find out. 46 minutes after the hour. The Republican guy might have been right. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are moments from Jane Velez Mitchell of CNN Headline News. They call it Headline News now.
They call it HLN.
HLN. Get with it, Chris.
Because it's news and views.
My hair didn't look that bad on Joy Behar, for God's sakes.
Well, someone just pointed out or just asked in the chat room, what's up with your bangs?
Yeah, I was having a bad bang day. I'm deep conditioning this weekend. That's my Valentine's weekend. Trying to fix my Japanese hair straightening that went awry.
Ovation cell therapy?
No, that's the good stuff. I have to use that to repair it now.
Right. Is that how you're fixing your bangs, is through Ovation?
Ovationhair.com, please.
Type Stephanie in the box?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right. Well, when that, what was the story? The Republican representative warned that there are marauding gay pirates in Tampa.
At a family event. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be. It's Pirate Week. It's supposed to be a family thing where you do pirate type things with your family.
Because pirates were well known family men.
Yes. Yeah. Charles in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Steph.
Yes.
Pirates, this is ridiculous. Mardi Gras is more a holiday.
What's that?
Oh, it's for Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras is gay holiday.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Fashionable.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, sir. Let's go to Stephen in Tampa.
Steve, I thought Halloween was the gay holiday.
Steve, are you a gay pirate?
Yes, I am.
Fabulous.
Yes, I'm the official gay pirate of the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right.
Have you taken time off from marauding just to call me?
I do love Mama, of course, and I
Thank
love Chris Lavoie.
Thank you.
To be in Gasparilla, because there's three different parades. There's one for the children. That's the family parade. And that happened about 3 weeks ago. Then there's the adult parade that happened during the daytime. That happened about 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And then this weekend is the night parade.
Wow, you're very pirate-centric there in Tampa, aren't you?
Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the Buccaneers, and we have, you know, we have a lot of Pirates down here. But, yeah, I mean, in order to be in the crew, because I'm in the crew of Cavaliers, you have to donate money. You have to donate time, which you have to do a lot of volunteer work. I'm not going to bother saying how much I had to donate because it would make most people sick.
Wow.
To march in the parade.
A lot of booty. You had to give a lot of booty.
Oh, yeah.
As the Pirates say.
Lots and lots of booty.
I mean,
but
money.
Yeah.
Doubloons.
Well, I guess a gay pirate will take either.
Stop it, Stephanie.
Either kind of booty.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
All right. You know what? I'm going to give you a $50 ProFlowers gift certificate just for being a gay pirate in Tampa, all right?
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Are you going to give the flowers to another gay pirate?
Probably to my husband.
Oh, fabulous. Yay. Okay, that's magical. All right. I just picture him, like, the flowers on the end of his hook. Here, honey.
Not all pirates had hooks. Some had peg legs.
And then the parrot just flutters down and lands magically on the flowers. Right as he's giving it to his other... All right. It's Friday. You know how I get on Friday. I get a little punchy.
You do get a little punchy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, the biggest breaking news, besides gay pirates in Tampa.
Yeah.
Marauding or non.
I prefer to think they're marauding.
Angry Egyptians pack the streets is the headline right this moment, obviously. Hosni Hazni, tomato, tomato.
Sure.
Refused to step down or leave the country. Although, Christine Amanpour reporting he has left Cairo. I don't know what difference that makes. He's still in the country, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Instead handed his powers, that was tricky. That's like some magic trick. To his vice president, remaining president. How do you do that? How did he hand his powers to the vice president and remain president as well?
I'm not sure that's constitutionally okay in Egypt.
And ensuring regime control over the reform process, which I think is exactly what people don't want. They don't want you to be part. See, then it won't be reform anymore.
Right.
Stunned protesters in central Cairo who demanded his ouster waved their shoes and shouted, leave, leave, leave. The rapidly moving events raised the question of whether a rift had opened between Mubarak and the military command. Hours earlier, a council of the military's top generals announced it had stepped in to secure the country. A senior commander announced to protesters in the square that all their demands would soon be met, raising cries of victory. That's where I think it started, is that the protesters assumed that meant he was leaving.
Sure.
After Mubarak's speech, protest organizers called for the army to take action to oust him. They vowed to increase protests today. Several hundred thousand had packed into Tahrir Square, static with the expectation that Mubarak was about to, that's what he was about to announce. Mm-hmm. Instead, they watched in shocked silence as he spoke, slapping their foreheads in anger, disbelief. Right. A lot of people, crying.
One Egyptian blogger actually said that they were punked.
Yeah.
They used that phrase that they were punked.
And then Ashton Kutcher appeared on the Jumbotron. And
that's what it felt like as he was giving his speech yesterday, that he had pulled a fast one on the people. And I was afraid
that the president said some bad words on Air Force One as he watched it.
I was afraid that the crowds would get so angry that they'd turn violent. I was afraid that was going to happen, but they didn't. You know, more power.
I bet you there were some F-bombs on Air Force One. Mother.
Yeah.
A pro-reform judge said the ball is now in the Army's court. The armed forces must interfere and oust him before it is too late today before tomorrow. Hours before the speech, the military had made moves out of all the makings of a coup without Mubarak or Suleiman on board. So,
right.
This has been, and the president yesterday, obviously, talking about the shift in the...
What is absolutely clear is that we are witnessing history unfold. It's a moment of transformation that's taking place because the people of Egypt are calling for change.
Yeah, as I said to the congressman earlier, if there's any more clue that America is not directing, it's the fact that we didn't know what the hell was happening either. Despite enormous speculation to the contrary, including the CIA director who we talked about, the Egyptian president did not announce he was stepping down. CIA director Leon Panetta, before the speech, said there was a strong likelihood the leader was on his way out and could step down as early as last night.
Yeah.
The CIA director probably should not say things based on media reports.
I'm really concerned that we didn't have better intelligence on this thing. That's really concerning me.
Yeah, I don't. Egypt's military announced that it had stepped in to safeguard the country and assured protesters Mubarak would meet their demands. So I don't know whether the military interpreted that this is going to meet their demands, but it obviously didn't. Obama put it plainly when questioned by a reporter during his stop at a Michigan diner. He said, we're going to have to wait and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, again, further evidence America's not directing this. 58 minutes after the hour, back with John Fugelsang, Jane Velez Mitchell, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Mama on the Joy Behar Show.
Yep.
Guest hosted by Robin Quivers. He is up on the YouTube section.
She looked
fabulous.
I'm only used to seeing her like in her morning get up, you know.
I've never met her, and I still didn't. I couldn't even see her on satellite.
But she looked.
I only saw her today when I watched it.
She looked really good.
Yeah. All right. You know what, kids? It's what? Friday. And that means John Fugelsang is, but he's not. Where? He's at AM 1510, The Revolution in Boston.
You want a revolution? Well, you know.
Other than that, it's a normal Friday.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugelsang.
I demanded to work in a colder city than New York.
What are you doing in Boston, John Fugelsang?
I'm starting a campaign for all of New England and all of the East Coast to try to find a shirtless picture of Hosni Mubarak on Cairo Craigslist so this whole thing can end today.
So this thing can be over, for God's sakes.
I'm up in Boston. I was asked to come up and join a very well-known extreme right-wing host for a couple of days of co-hosting here, and I figured I would do that to teach them not to be afraid of their liberal friends.
Oh, cool.
How's that going? So far,
just lovely. Well, actually, I came in all ready to fight, but yesterday it was all just Hosni Mubarak is a jerk and Chris Lee is a douche, and so we agreed on everything. So I was very disappointed, but I'm teaching right wingers how to love us.
What? My main question was, why do men think that we want to see them shirtless necessarily? It's like, oh, you're a slightly pasty middle-aged guy.
You know how they say that women only dress for other women? Men only flex for other men. And men have learned everything about relationships from porn, so they think that that's what women actually want. So it's...
It could have been worse. It could have been shirtless pictures of Chris Christie. But, you know, it's...
Well, please don't judge every shirtless, adulterous Craigslist loser based on this one guy, okay?
It's another example, isn't it, of what the hell are men thinking? Exactly. We have the Google now. It takes 2 seconds. You know, it's not like the 70s when you could just date serial killers willy-nilly and have no idea.
If you're doing that, at least change your name.
Change your
name.
Real
name.
Oh, I
and
know.
And real picture.
It's and like, he said he was a divorce lobbyist, which he won't be for at least 2 more months.
Yes, so. Exactly. Exactly.
Trust me, he'll be a divorce lobbyist very soon.
Yeah, that was his only statement. I got to go work this out with my wife.
I hope
we
got to
go sell some furniture.
I hope he lasts longer with his Craigslist dates than he did in Congress.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say I think they're going to be selling a lot more furniture shortly. Somewhere. Maybe not Craigslist. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. I'm sorry late. I was kidnapped by marooning gay pirates.
Were you now?
Arr, what a fabulous window treatment it be. Yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo, a pirate's life for me.
Yeah, John missed that story that we talked about last
hour. A Republican lawmaker seriously has warned of marauding gay pirates in Tampa.
Wow. I hope they can steal a shipment of puffy white shirts.
Yo ho ho on a bottle of amyl nitrate.
Oh, stop it.
Are there straight pirates?
I don't know. I was not aware of the danger.
I'm until... Captain Ned of the Raging Queen.
All right. You can email
Rip
us.
The shirt, how cliche.
Arr. You can email us all, of course, at the StephanieMiller.com. Daniel says, now that our new orange overlord, the boner, has taken the reins, can I bequeath my liver to him? I'm sure he's already on number 2 or 3, but of course he outsourced and bought him from China. Mine's all American, and who knows, it may cure him of his PTSD, post-tavern stress disorder.
Tavern!
Taking the reins of what? This guy can't even count his own vote.
Yeah.
He got punked by his own party.
Yeah, that's not going well. The whole that's the Politico headline, John. Growing pains, GOP stumbles. The initial flubs in the first month of GOP majority are mainly PR embarrassment, but Republicans may face much more substantial problems quelling an uprising over the debt limit, corralling conservative votes on the budget bill known as the continuing resolution, measures that are essential to keeping the government operating. The miscues indicate that Boehner and other Republican leaders have a harder job than they bargained for, managing an unwieldy activist group of nearly... You know what, Jim? I'm thinking he's crying a lot more in private now.
Yeah.
Even than he does in public.
Because now the Republicans are as disorganized as Democrats.
Or maybe so. In a tavern somewhere.
I hope he has some lobbyists to keep him and give him comfort.
And then with the sudden resignation of Representative Christopher Lee, further demonstrated a GOP conference that continues to bumble its way through the opening chapter of the 112th Congress,
well,
according
to
Politico.
At least he was soliciting a chick. You know, that's new for the Republicans.
Well, that's new.
That's a big step up.
Yeah.
I love that the day he resigned, John Ensign had a fundraiser. It's very special to me.
Chris, we mentioned... Yes. Larry Korb mentioned Phyllis Schlafly, which makes him even older than we are.
Because
you mentioned, I mentioned her in my It Gets Better video, and you're like, no, none of the kids know who
the
she is.
The kids don't
you
know
are
who
old.
That is.
You are an antiquated political geek.
That's why it's great, because if you think she's been forgotten, imagine Palin in 10 years.
Yeah.
Or Anita Bryant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mike actually sent us the fun facts on... Steph, granted, it's early in the morning out there, but how can you forget to mention to the kids that Schlafly was instrumental in thwarting passage of the Equal Rights Amendment with goofy lies such as it would mandate unisex bathrooms and take away Social Security from dependent spouses, largely because of the disinformation campaign. The ERA was stopped at 35 of the necessary 38 states needed for ratification. Yep. Yes, thank you for setting the women's movement back 1,000 years. Mike writes, she is a fruit bat of the highest order. In March 2007, Schlafly said in a speech, by getting married, the woman has consented to sex. I don't think you can call it rape. She opposed U.S. President Bill Clinton's decision to send troops to Bosnia. She noted that Balkan nations have fought one another for 500 years. The U.S. military should not be the policemen of the world in trouble spots.
Unless George Bush is doing it.
Yes, and then of course, I'm guessing she was all for that.
Send 5,000 to die to keep Iraq American.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the president yesterday on what's going on in Egypt.
We want those young people and we want all Egyptians to know America will continue to do everything that we can to support an orderly and genuine transition to democracy in Egypt.
To the caliphate.
Yeah. What the hell is going on in Egypt, John Fugel saying?
Well, I'm glad Glenn Beck is here to tell me, but he may buy gold first. But it's pretty amazing to see what's going on because the military is on the side of the people and not on the side of the president. And it's I hear all these claims of doom, but it's pretty inspiring to see what's going on here because they tried having the military wouldn't scare the people away. They tried the cops dispersed. They tried hired thugs, they had escaped from jail. They beat people up on camels for one day and then dispersed, and more millions keep coming. Egypt is not a rich country, but they're huge in industry. And when they had a labor strike 2 days ago, that got the message through. And trust me, if Mubarak doesn't leave, you're going to see the entire nation shut down. It's really inspiring to see that sometimes we can get our dictator friends to leave without having to invade them illegally.
And
all right, kids.
Glenn Beck is very unhappy about it. The world is changing.
Very unhappy.
All right. You know, every party's got its pooper, and that's why we invited Jane Velez Mitchell.
Stop
Are you
it.
Doing an intervention on me? Is that why we're talking to Jane in her new book, Attic Nation? She's here to do an intervention on America. Good morning, Jane.
Stephanie, it's time. The reality.
Oh, boy.
We can't. We love you. You can't keep doing this. You're
going
to die.
All right.
Whatever.
Now, Jane, you're going to be out here, first of all, in Los Angeles at Book Soup tomorrow, right, for a book signing.
I'm on Book Soup. Tomorrow night, Saturday. Actually, it's late afternoon, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Book Soup, that's Saturday. 5 o'clock, Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard, and we're going to have a good old time, and it's going to be, I think, a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about everybody's addiction.
Well, and oddly, many people addicted to your HLN show, Issues with Jane Velez Mitchell.
Well, that's the one exception. You can stay addicted to that. Everything else, let it go.
I just can't stop watching it.
Now, you replaced Glenn Beck. Is there anything in your contract? Do you have to have a certain number of conspiracy theories, at least, in your show, or no?
Well, I let that go, but you know what? I have other theories, and they're very controversial, and they're all lined out. If I'm not making a lot of sense, because I've slept about 4 hours, I flew out, but let me just try to recoup the English language right now and say that Attic Nation outlines a whole bunch of really shocking and frightening trends in America. And the biggest trend is that we are culturally addicted to just about everything. And addiction is contagious. So people who do drugs encourage other people to do drugs. People who drink encourage other people to drink. Right now, we're co-signing each other's bad behavior with a slew of addictions that aren't your average addictions or not considered your classic addictions.
So
obesity crisis is the perfect example. That's everybody co-signing each other's bad behavior, mm-hmm. and everybody is just getting fatter and fatter and fatter. It's time we hit bottom, and I outline that in Addict Nation.
So now you're saying it would be wrong of me to bring a box wine and offer you a drink when I come to Book Soup tomorrow. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Now, you are a recovering alcoholic. You say you use the 12 steps to break your addiction to buying electronic gadgets. What stuff were you buying, and what was that about?
You know, I was in the closet. I wasn't out as a gay person, and I was trying to pretend to be this straight person for years, and I found myself going, maybe subconsciously expressing my true sexual orientation. I was just obsessed with gadgets, and I bought all sorts of gadgets all the time, and I think it's kind of a way of stuffing my feelings and escaping from my feelings. And this is what all addiction is. You can get addicted to anything. You can get addicted to tattoos, texting, mm-hmm. plastic surgery. But I'd say the biggest and most problematical addictions in America today, aside from the classic alcohol and illegal drugs, are A, prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. It's an epidemic. More people are dying from prescription drugs than illegal drugs,
yep.
which, of course, makes our kind of classic war on drugs that we spend billions of dollars on kind of idiotic. Not that it's even doing any good. I mean, look at what's going on at the border.
Ding.
We are also classically addicted to overeating. You know, people say obesity is a lifestyle choice. Nonsense. It's food addiction, plain and simple. If you get on a plane and you're smoking, everybody would be up in arms. If you're on a plane drinking, getting drunk and slurring and pushing people, everybody would be up in arms. But if you get on a plane and you're so heavy that you're making the people on either side of you uncomfortable, that's considered a lifestyle choice. It's not. And what I say is, don't co-sign somebody's bad behavior. If you're living with somebody who is seriously overweight, if you are struggling very much with your weight yourself, there is a program. It's called Overeaters Anonymous.
Right.
This is something that you can take action on. But the first step to overcoming any addiction is to admit that you have it.
Yeah.
And
it's well,
we
right.
tell people it's a lifestyle choice, they're not going to turn it around.
We've gotten to the place where only if you defecate on a food cart is it considered bad behavior on a plane. That's the level that we've reached. Jane Velez Mitchell, the author of Addict Nation, an Intervention for America. Can you hang on, Jane? We're going to we got a break here, and we'll come right back, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Jeez. Kind of a buzzkill, but it's fun.
Oh, yeah,
all right,
I love her.
18 minutes after the hour. We're in the middle of an intervention, everybody. Pay attention. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ah, that's all right. That's healthy. 24 minutes after the hour, Camellia sends me a card. Valentine's Day and Black History Month are sad reminders of how lonely and white I am. And the sign, the marquee from Save More Liquors. Valentine's Day, blah, 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 drink. And now here with the opposing view, Jane Velez Mitchell, author of Addict Nation, an Intervention for America. Welcome back, Jane. Now, you are a recovering alcoholic, a vegan. How do you have any fun? Do you have any fun anymore, Jane?
Oh, stop it.
Let me tell you, I have more fun now than when I was drinking, more fun than when I was eating rotting carcasses. I mean, let me tell you, I can say no matter what stupid thing I say or do today, I'm going to go to sleep a winner tonight because I will not have had any alcohol, and I will also not have killed anything. It's a wonderful feeling, and I recommend it to everybody, and I talk about it in Addict Nation. You know, we're addicted to meat as well. We're addicted mm-hmm. to fast food. What mm-hmm. I tell people is they're struggling with their weight. Hey, you can narrow the playing field. If you only only said this one thing. Just for today, like, I don't touch alcohol. I will not go in a fast food restaurant, and I will not go through a fast food drive-thru. That one decision, if Americans made it, would cause the obesity crisis to plummet. One out of every four Americans eats fast food every day, despite all the evidence we have now that fast food is addictive because it's packed with three ingredients, salt, fat, and sugar that
but you know,
biologically
Jane,
but some people can't afford.
Well, Jane, you know, Jim Ward, my co-host here, was bringing up, though, that, you know, a lot of the obesity crisis, really, it's not
poverty.
Just about food. It's about poverty,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
fast food is cheap.
Well, you know why it's cheap? And I get into this in my book, Addict Nation, because the government subsidizes it. The government is our biggest pusher of bad behavior. And that's true of prescription drugs, and it's true of food. Mm-hmm. You know, Michelle Obama, God bless her, she's going around saying, get healthy, and I admire that. But the truth is that the obesity crisis has been created by the agricultural subsidies. The U.S. government send billions and billions and billions of dollars every year to agribusiness so they can produce the cheap corn, which is the pipeline to the high fructose corn syrup, and the factory farms where they raise these animals horrifically, 10 billion of them every year. The average hamburger, if it wasn't subsidized by the U.S. government, would cost something like $12.
Yep.
So the U.S.
government
is the problem.
And I do agree with your, you know, your basic, you know, talk, you know, theme about overconsumption. You talk about in the book, and I agree with this. You talk about how when, you know, you go to a fancy restaurant for dinner, how much food is wasted, that, you know, that also is, you know, has become like a sign of success, that, you know, you order all this fancy food and, you know, you barely eat any of it. And I'm always really, I'm cheap, and B,
That's why there's doggy bags.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. I agree with you. Like, I try to order, you know, just what I can eat. I think that's true, that we waste so much food.
Yeah, our portion sizes are enormous. And now when I go out to lunch with executives, when we leave, I take all the bread off the plate and put it in my pocket, and they think I'm such a freak. But I just do it because I'm not wasting it.
Maybe you're addicted to carbs, Jane.
They're like, doesn't she work?
She's addicted to carbs. That's
doesn't CNN
is.
Pay her?
Well, isn't it fair to say, too, that in the age of Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan, that America has become addicted to addicts and addicted to watching addicts screw up?
Well, we're certainly addicted to celebrity, which is a whole chapter in my book. And when we're more interested as a culture in voting for a contestant on American Idol than voting for a member of Congress, we're going to be in problems. Okay, we spend so much time and energy focused on these celebrities. Where is the time for thinking about complex subjects like, oh, the displaced people in Haiti, or what we're going to do about climate change? So it's really junk information. Just like there's junk food, there's junk information. Mm-hmm. And this is the essence of addiction. Addiction is all about just getting the next fix. It's not about long-term solutions. It's not about keeping your side of the street clean or keeping your house clean. We are literally, these addictions of overconsumption are trashing our planet, literally trashing our planet. And we've got to do something about it.
Well, you say when enough people are hooked on the same substance, their behavior crosses the line into a cultural addiction.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly. Well, look, addictions, our culture sort of lurches from addiction to addiction. You know, back in the 50s, smoking was okay. Now people look askance on smoking, but they don't look askance, for example, on prescription pills. More people, okay, are ODing in some states on prescription pills than they are dying in car accidents. This is a major epidemic. And who's pushing it? Big pharma and big government, who are totally in bed with each other. And this is true in every agency of government. We saw with the BP oil spill, the Interior Department, which is supposed to watch over these oil rigs, they were getting free tickets. They were getting free gifts, free meals. They even let the oil company workers fill out their inspection forms in pencil, and they'd go over it in ink.
Right.
So we have a completely corrupt government, and that's what happens with addiction. It always leads to moral degeneracy.
Yep.
And so our addict nation is in deep trouble. And I talk about all of this, and there is a way out.
Yep. Addict Nation is the book. Jane Velez Mitchell, always a pleasure. Jane, fascinating stuff. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Steph.
All right. There she goes.
Hooray!
Jane Velez Mitchell from Headline News. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back at the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Mm-hmm. In fact, we still have a $50 ProFowers gift certificate for the best calls.
We gave one away earlier to a gay pirate.
Yes, I'm told that Valentine's Day is Monday. All right.
And are you celebrating, or are you just going to sit alone in your giant mansion?
Yeah. Oh, please. I don't care what Chamberlain Mitchell says. I'll be snuggling a box of wine.
Celebrate her addictions.
I'll be celebrating my addictions alone. Like
she'll
I always
be there
do.
In the giant mansion dreaming of her childhood sled. By the way, Jay Mitchell's book is fantastic. I know I could put it down any time. I just don't want to yet.
Oh, you see, because you're addicted to it. Okay, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Fridays with Fuglesang continues. John is in Boston.
Yep.
Yes, I wanted a place more frigid than New York, and I found it. Here for the Jay Severin Show. So I'm doing Stephanie Miller and Jay Severin in the same day.
Ooh,
something for
yikes.
Each hemisphere of your brain.
Didn't Jay Severin call for Obama's impeachment the day he was inaugurated?
Yes, he did. He did the first week.
Yeah.
Yes. He was way ahead of the curve.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
All right.
He loves me, by the way. Loves me.
Who doesn't? Breaking news out of Cairo. So they are saying Mubarak has left Cairo?
They're saying Mubarak has left Cairo, and they're saying that the presidency is going to make an important statement soon.
Mm. He's left Cairo.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
who's the presidency?
Well, they didn't say the president. They said the presidency.
The presidency type.
Probably Suleiman.
So we'll see what happens.
The Octomom's husband.
Yes.
No, that's John. That's incorrect.
Yeah.
It's not Octodad.
Oh. Well, he passed some of his powers over to Suleiman yesterday, but not his creepy power to never age. And
mummify early in Egypt, apparently, before you die.
They get out ahead of the curve. But denial is a president in Egypt. We now know.
There just cannot be enough variations on that joke this week, can there? All right. So Orrin Hatch was at a boy. He's going all teabaggy on us.
Speaking of embalmed.
Yeah.
He's going all teabaggy, isn't he? He's afraid of getting teabagged. And
he's a teabagging fool.
He was at a Tea Party Express event, and he says he has a personal relationship with Mubarak, and he feels sad that he's going through this.
Wow.
Is that particularly teabaggy?
It's Dick Cheney.
It's Dick Cheney. I don't know if it's teabaggy.
I don't know.
How personal of a relationship does he have with
him?
I don't know.
Enough to teabag?
Is it a bromance? I don't know.
He's awful, though. I mean, why did my government have to rendition detainees for outsourced torture to such a loser? My God.
Yeah. How about, this is teabaggy, a Texas Tea Party leader on Obama, he might be a Muslim. Did you happen to see this? Chris Matthews had the two...
Yeah, I saw those guys.
Two Tea Party guys on. One was Philip Dennis of the Texas Tea Party. He first replied he didn't know if Obama was a Muslim, but then criticized Obama's attendance at the Jeremiah Wright's church.
Right.
So that's a little...
So which is it?
I don't know. Either the wrong... He's a Muslimly kind of Christian.
Mm. But John McCain can pal around with John Hagee and hate the Jews all he wants.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yes, yes.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand now.
He then complained that Obama has a soft spot in his heart for Islam because he changed our history, saying that Islam has always played a major part in this country. Dennis noted he had a big problem with Islam, concluded saying Obama might be a Muslim.
Treaty of Tripoli.
Tripoli.
Yes.
John Adams.
American
president.
George Washington ratified Article 11 that said the government of the U.S. is in no way founded on the Christian religion.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That one.
Yeah, who is it? The stunning Steve King was on. Whose show was he on? Oh, I think Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh.
And he just, he basically said, well, if the president will stop, you know, he basically blamed the president for his speech in Cairo for people thinking he's a Muslim.
Yep.
And he's like, well, if the president will, you know, come back from that a little bit, then I'll come back. Well, because Chris Matthew or Lawrence O'Donnell said, could you have corrected this with your constituents? Because it talked about, you know, it was his constituents, basically a bunch of them think he's Muslim.
Right.
And he said, you know, you could correct this if you wanted to. Yeah. And he's like, well, I didn't want to get into it there. And, you know, if the president will stop acting so Muslimy, then I'll do my part. What?
He didn't say that, did he?
That was his point.
Okay, all right.
If he'd stop praying five times a day, my God, I feel so much better about it.
Yeah.
Yay.
All right. And now we break for some Guy Lafleur news, which we always have time for. Richard in Detroit. Hello, Richard.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
A romantic story with Valentine's Day coming up.
Yes.
My wife and I honeymooned in Quebec City. I mean, yeah, it's a romantic place. They speak French there. And at the same time, the National Hockey League draft was going on, and I needed to cover that. And gosh, nothing says sexy time like hanging out with Scotty Bowman, right?
Yes.
Well, one of the events that they had scheduled, Quebec City was bidding for the Winter Olympics, and so they took members of the media on a boat cruise to show off their attractions. And when we showed up at the dock, the person waiting to greet everybody and shake everyone's hand with Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur!
Not making this up. And my wife said he's got a really nice handshake and he wears really nice socks. So for the rest of our honeymoon, I'm pretty sure she was thinking about Guy
Lafleur. Did she yell out Guy Lafleur at any inopportune times?
Thankfully, no.
All right. Well, I'm giving you a $50 Profiler certificate just for that, just for mentioning Guy Lafleur.
And Lafleur means the flower.
Thank you, Stephanie.
All right.
Yes.
So, thank you. Hang on.
Proflowers is highly appropriate.
Have some Lafleurs from Proflowers.
Lafleur.
Yeah.
Plural.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Joe in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
Good to talk to you. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I just got XM Radio. Boy, it's great. I'm so tired of hearing these rights all the time.
Thank you.
My question to you is this. The Tea Party is supposed to be so strong. They're always at these big rallies and all. My question is, why aren't they becoming an independent party of their own?
Right on.
Away from the Republican Party.
I encourage that. You know what? Don't stand for that sort of mistreatment from the Republican Party. Go! Be free, Elsa. Mm-hmm. Be free.
Because it's a denial mechanism. They can pretend they're not in the Republican Party while still being loyal Republicans.
Yeah, well, the disarray thus far is kind of entertaining, isn't it? Oh, dear. By the way, the latest, Rand Paul has broken with the party and announced he will oppose extending the Patriot Act. Doesn't Rand Paul just veer from making perfect sense to being completely crazy like his father?
Yes.
Oh, it's awesome.
And Rand Paul has seen all the violence going on in Egypt and wants everyone to know no private property was damaged in any way.
Good, good,
yes.
Fabulous. Uh-huh. Yes, the House rebuked both the White House and House Republican leadership as a majority of House Democrats joined with 26 insurgent Republicans to defeat the extension of the Patriot Act. By the way, did you see basically Dennis Kucinich punked Republican
yes.
leadership?
That was great. Yeah.
He got the Tea Party guys behind their back. He issued a challenge to Tea Party Republicans saying the 112th Congress began with a historic reading of the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Will anybody subscribe to the First and Fourth Amendments tomorrow when the Patriot Act is up for a vote? I'm hopeful the members of the Tea Party who came to Congress to defend the Constitution will join me in challenging the reauthorization.
Yes.
And they did!
Yes.
I heard it wasn't actually the Tea Party guys. It was just the rank-and-file Republicans who crossed over.
Well, it was a bunch. I mean, that's significant, and they did not see that coming. The House expected once again to begin debate on the measure as early as today, with the extension expected to pass. The legislation will then move to the Senate, and so Rand Paul has announced that he will vote against a T, and then he... Oh, boy. In fact, he may even point a laser at it right after he points it at a pilot's face.
I mean, the Tea Party began because of the Rand Pauls and the Ron Pauls and the real Republicans and real conservatives who were disgusted at how Bush spent money. And then it was just turned into like a Sarah Palin paddock to keep the really dim bulbs with a shiny thing to look at. And that's how they've kept people from defecting from the party. The whole Tea Party has no identity. And real Republicans, if you hate abortion, you should quit the Republican Party and go to the Right to Life Party. Mm-hmm. And if you hate spending, you should quit the Republicans and go over to the Tea Party.
Yep, I agree. We encourage as much dissension as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, next year is the 100-year anniversary of Teddy Roosevelt quitting the Republicans because he was so disgusted by how corporately owned they were.
Yep.
There's so much dissension in the Republican Party now, they're sounding like Democrats.
Exactly. That's what I just said.
Hey, yes. This organization is our thing. You stole that.
Yes. Hey. We're the ones who herd cats.
Yes, in fact, speaking of spending, piling cuts on top of cuts, House Republican leaders outlined an additional $26 billion in spending reductions yesterday in hopes of placating conservatives who rejected an initial draft as too timid. It has been described literally as blindly wielding a meat axe at the budget.
And cutting funds for working people is a tax. You know, it's like, when are the Democrats going to grow a pair and start calling them out on this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're spending $10 billion a year still on Star Wars missile defense, and they won't raise taxes on the upper 2%?
It would cut current spending in federal programs by about $60 billion. By Republican reckoning, the new measure would reduce spending by $100 billion below Obama's request for the current fiscal year. See, they're trying to do the math to, you know, placate their... teabaggy base.
Mm-hmm.
The actual cuts from current rates are less because the $100 billion promise assumes Obama budget increases that were never enacted. So
right.
It's like none of the math even makes sense.
They also, in their plan, want to add to the military budget.
Great.
They want to increase spending.
Great. Terrific. All right. Representative Sandy Levin on repealing health care reform.
Repeal would do more than turn back the clock. It would rip off its hands.
No. without health care. How about that? And it would add a lot to the deficit, just saying.
Yeah, $127 billion at least.
Thank you. Thank you, John Fuglesang. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Much more to come as we continue Fridays with Fuglesang, Celebrity Stack, Right Wing World, and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Where?
Oh,
okay. Where?
49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Mary in San Francisco. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Mary.
The official independent bookseller of the Stephanie
Howdy.
Show. And also would do a call out to Nick, who apparently did a call out at some point to me.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to say, first of all, it's not the Republican Party, it's the corporate party. We should just call it that and make it a lot easier for everyone.
Thank you.
It's like the mainstream media, it's the corporate media. Just call it the corporate media and make it a lot easier for everyone. Second thing is, Egypt is a result of the larger trend that's happening all across the world where powerful corporate interests are bonding with wealthy families, grabbing all the money and the resources for themselves. The middle classes are dwindling.
Well, Mary, that's the point a lot of people are missing, is I think this is largely a labor dispute. You know, I mean, this is about the economy and about people that have been downtrodden for so many years. I mean, it's not driven by outside forces. It's not driven by Islamic, Muslim Brotherhood, whatever.
Exactly. In fact, basically there was a middle class. They had reasonable jobs. They could get along, okay. And what this has happened is just lately, the wealthy families in Mubarak and that crowd have all taken so much money that people are just getting shorter and shorter. They're cutting back on the backs of the poor and the middle class, to the point where the middle class is disappearing. And they're finally just they just can't take anymore. And this rebellion is going to keep happening all over the world, because the wealthy are not going to go, oh, well, geez, you know, it seems like the people object to us sponging off of them so much, so we'll just stop that. No, they're taking more and more and more, and it's happening everywhere. And if you want to see us in about 20 years, look at Egypt, because
our income inequality is worse.
Same thing.
Right, it's worse than theirs, actually.
It is.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. They're running the problem is these rulers are running their countries like corporations, and they're in the middle of liquidation, and they're taking all they can from themselves. They're selling off anything they can, converting everything to ready money, and then they're getting out. And the people are left holding the bill.
Yep.
And every country is going to be in bankruptcy until people start realizing it.
Yep. Egypt's also a bit about rebelling against totalitarianism and having your friends tortured. So that's part of it.
But that's all a natural side effect when you're stealing from your country and you're taking everything and you want to quell unrest. You just start bringing down the hammer more and more and more. And as people run out of money and everything kind of starts to fall apart in the infrastructure, if you don't want people to rebel, you just start making more and more rules. And then if anybody breaks a rule or he's inconvenient, you say he broke a rule, you get rid of him. And see, that's the problem with, if you read Sorrows of Empire by Chalmers Johnson, he talked about this, where every time a government is run by rulers, not governors, but rulers, people who just want to be the boss and take money and run, that's the problem, is that it all falls apart.
Yeah, so what I've learned is the president of Venezuela is a dictator, and the dictator of Egypt is a president.
apparently. Yeah. All right, Mayor, thank you. Good call. Let's go to Linda. Wait a minute. I did the wrong line. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, is this Linda?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Go ahead. Who's this?
I'm Mark in Northern Jersey. I think that what you're starting to see is the beginning of World War III. World War III is going to be the middle and lower class against the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, that's what, obviously, this
as
is a lot
as soon as Jersey
this...
Shore ends, we'll be in the streets.
That's true. Exactly. As soon as we don't get a satisfying conclusion, the shoes are coming off.
You know, Egypt is inspired by the Tunisia revolt, which happened because people actually read WikiLeaks. Here, Snooki is on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yes,
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing. Yay. Oh, it's a special treat. It's some comedy from Foxlefield.
The Republican National Committee has put together a little something for you for Valentine's Day. You are able to send loved ones some various Valentine's Day sentiments where the people on the card are famous Democrats.
This is President Obama, and it says, "Hope you like the Valentine's Day card your grandchildren are paying for it." Oh, my goodness, that is a zinger. Joe Biden, the vice president, says, "Happy Valentine's Day. It's a big...
bleeping
deal."
And Joe Biden, once again, happy Thanksgiving. the gift that keeps on giving.
Those people have to go home and burn their Reagan love dolls for that joke.
Okay.
Did you hear what she
Socialist
said? She
humor.
Said, "Oh, that's such a zinger.
That's a zinger.
That's a zinger."
Our kids should only pay for a rich guy's tax cut.
They are a panic over there at the RNC. Okay, Glenn, back on the radio.
The wealthy of America, you better get in to the internet and you better figure out what's going on, because this is spreading like wildfire. It is spreading, and it's not just spreading. Once you get people in the Middle East, if they can start flipping these things, they will flip rapidly. And they will encourage the communists and the socialists and everybody else that wants to flip a country, and they will start flipping one after another.
Oh, we're like real estate. Mm. We're like communist real estate flippers.
He's convinced me. We got to go back to Vietnam.
What the hell?
Okay. Soon there could be revolution against King George, and then where will we be?
Linda in San Francisco on Egypt. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to tell you guys when I first time calling. I've been listening to you guys for years, and I love your show every single morning. I was in Egypt in October for my first time. The Egyptian people are the most beautiful, loving, amazing people I've ever met. They, everywhere we went, they were so excited when they heard us from America. They were screaming, "Obama, Obama," and they love America for the most part. And I think that the reason a lot of this is happening is because I think mistakenly they thought that this was a good time for them to do this, because they thought that maybe Barack would, in our country, supposedly democracy would back what they're doing. But, you know, since we still have people in Guantanamo Bay after all these years, which we should be ashamed of, and our country cannot go around the world anywhere deciding where democracy should be, because we don't even have it here.
Yep, I hear you. All right, Linda, thank you. Yeah, we'll get to it in Celebrity Stack. Donald Trump is running apparently for president to, I don't know, save our reputation around the world.
Yeah, I tripped over my own drool when I heard that.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah, and he checked his hair.
Obama, you're fired.
He checked his hair and went on camera and said America's a laughing stock.
Yeah.
right. All right. Because if you talk to anyone that's actually been around the world, our reputation is much better since George Bush is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Rush Limbaugh.
We're surrounded by people who want to stamp us out. We're surrounded by people who want to tamp us down. Mm-hmm. Sadly, some of those people now are in positions of power in our own government, which is why there's a Tea Party made up of people who understand that the greatness of America is under assault.
Mm. Yeah, by the Patriot Act.
Yes, exactly.
We're working hard to repeal there.
Thanks to Dennis Kucinich. Politicians who run for office saying that D.C. is evil and government is evil don't want to stamp us out. But the ones in D.C. who want to help us are trying to stamp us out. Mm. That's what he's saying?
Mm.
I think.
Something like that.
That's why I celebrated Reagan's
birthday.
Wasn't
the president's speech largely about American exceptionalism?
Yes.
Pretty much? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what I thought. Okay. Oh, dear. Must you inflict this on me?
What?
Not just Mark Levin, but a Mark Levin fan?
Sure.
Caller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one who knows that Michelle Obama is quite thick to be telling other people how they should eat. She ought to watch her own weight. Because she is a little thick.
Isn't it amazing that we can talk about the physical features endlessly about conservative women, but don't say a word about Michelle Obama, who's out there pushing, you know, eating properly, no obesity, and all the rest of it? I'm thinking, does that mean we can't comment on her? She can comment on us, but we can't comment on her?
What?
What? Who? What conservative women does he?
First of
about?
All, you know what we say about the conservative women's looks? That they're pretty.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin, Michelle Bachmann. We've never said anything about their looks other than they're really pretty. Ay vey.
Well, you're
Michelle
you're
Obama
really hot too.
Is gorgeous.
As opposed to Mark Levin, sakes. Who's a troll who lives in Hannity's pocket.
Yeah, is he talking about someone else's looks? Exactly.
Yeah.
Get back under the bridge near Sean Hannity's house. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy crap! Mubarak has stepped down.
Barack Obama is stepping down.
They are
Daniel
walking.
Bill O'Reilly. What?
No. Oh. Mubarak.
Never mind.
Wow.
Oh, now I'm really
Egypt
mad at Obama.
The crowd is erupting in cheers. Egypt is free. Egypt is free. Wow.
Yeah, but Suleiman, Vice President Suleiman made the announcement, so he's still there.
Exactly.
Don't be a buzzkill.
Well, I'm happy for the people of Egypt right now, but they're going to come to the realization that Suleiman is still there.
Well, okay, but listen, this is huge. This
it is
huge news. I'm like, what the hell?
Very huge. And the American government is praying.
And the crowd goes wild.
A smooth transition to a new pro-Western dictator.
Yeah, right.
That's true. You know, that is true.
Plus, Suleiman, he only became vice president like 10 days ago. Jerry Ford had a longer time as vice president before taking the job. According to their parliament, it has to go to the Speaker of the House. But I think Mubarak fired the entire government.
Wow.
So it's going to be nutsy.
They are going insane over the in the square.
I imagine Vice President Sulu.
I imagine Israel is a little bit nervous right now.
I don't think so.
No?
Listen, the majority
Good
of these
morning.
People.
Hi, Flo. Flo in Sunrise, California. Sorry, John. Go ahead, Flo.
Stephanie?
Yes.
I know the coverage is important, but last night on MSNBC, they wouldn't let anybody do a normal show. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With all the coverage.
Yeah.
And Ed promised us to talk about the unions, but they wouldn't let him do that. And this morning, CNN, they're using that protest over there to bash the Obama administration. They were caught red-handed, or they didn't know what they were doing. They should have been aware that this was going to happen. The entire administration doesn't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is baloney. What would the Republicans do? Drop a bomb?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Flo. I mean, this is exactly how they got caught. It's like, first of all, Obama's doing all the wrong thing, and then Obama's. I mean, obviously, we weren't directing this, or we would have known exactly what was going to happen and when.
So
I mean,
good on foreign relations.
Yeah.
The only thing is. Bomb, ba ba bomb, ba bomb, ba bomb.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all they want to do.
All right. Thank you, Flo. I mean, that's all they look for in every story. How can we spin this, make it bad for Obama, make it bad for, yada, yada, yada. So I think, this is very exciting. You can't watch those pictures right now and not be happy.
Sure.
I mean,
Glenn Beck can.
Oh, Glenn Beck. Oh, yeah.
Rush
is preparing right now how this is bad.
Now
exactly.
The liberals and socialists have done it.
Yeah.
Are you happy now?
Yeah.
Socialist, liberal, communist, Nazis? Look what you've done!
Oh, you communists and Nazis, you Axis.
The caliphate is almost complete!
The caliphate of evil is upon us, and you should be afraid. And buy lots of gold.
Oh, yeah, let's skip to 14. We have to finish up Right Wing World, because, speaking of, see, Jim's, oftentimes he does a little joke, and he's a little psychic comedian.
You are watching the beginning and the birth of the New World Order. And you want to call me crazy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Go to hell. Call me crazy all you want.
Yes, and? What?
The world is heading towards a different place.
Really?
And don't be taken there.
Oh, no.
Unaware.
All those pauses are the sounds of advertisers leaving.
Yeah.
What's that?
Whenever Glenn Beck has the glasses on, you know it's going to be a special chalkboard show.
Yes. Was that crying, Chris? What was that giant pause in there?
No, it was dramatic sighs.
Oh.
He was sighing dramatically.
The world has left the orbit of the sun and is moving to a different solar system. A binary system.
Wasn't that an episode of The Twilight Zone? You know, where she was dreaming
yes.
that it was getting colder?
That it was getting colder, but it,
but it was really getting hotter?
She was dreaming yes. it was getting hotter, and it was really getting
That's
colder.
Right.
Yes.
yes.
Okay. And you and I know that.
All right.
Let's go back and pick up Newt Gingrich at CPAC.
Oh.
Going
Let's pick him up.
Mm-hmm. Why are we in a mess? Why do we have over 9% unemployment? Well, the Obama administration is anti-jobs, anti-small business, anti-manufacturing, pro-trial lawyer, pro-bureaucrat, pro-deficit spending, and pro-high taxes. If you want to kill jobs, you can. And Democrats prove it all the time.
Boy, they hate deficit spending in the Republican Party, don't they? And they love Reagan.
He does sound like a sad little Muppet, doesn't he, Jim? He sounds like a cross between Charlie Brown's teacher and a sad Muppet.
Playing all the hits. Yeah, the deficit of jobs, communism.
Next, I'm going to talk about fidelity and marriage.
Frankly,
Cop
killing.
Okay,
Bill
O'Reilly.
Obama's only had one wife. What a loser, frankly.
Bill O'Reilly, I don't think we even need to be told this.
Speaking of good husbands.
People at MSNBC, exactly the same as the Muslim Brotherhood.
The president wouldn't basically define how he sees the Muslim Brotherhood. He would not do it. He said there are strains of anti-Americanism in it, but that sounds like MSNBC. There are strains of anti-Americanism over there. Okay, so what are they?
We'll smear it live!
Wow.
The Muslim Brotherhood is bending over backwards to stress to the world that they are an anti-violence organization.
Yeah.
I mean, Spitzer had the guy on the other night and their editorial in the Times yesterday. Like, they are anti-violence, be it from Israel, from Arabs, or from America. And whether they mean it or not, who knows, but that's their official policy. And we should take them at their word as opposed to, say, Obama's religion.
Yeah.
The world is moving to a different anti-violent place.
Well, they know they can't. They had to renounce violence or they would have gotten Parker Spitzer. You know what I'm saying? That's an Egyptian term.
Parker, I just Spitzered.
Tony in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. I am elated myself. You know, I am so happy to see what happened. You know, when you look at it in the real scheme of things, there were some people that, you know, may have died, but on the scale, you know, it was smaller. And then they, you know, you could say...
The death toll, I think the death toll was, about 300, I guess, which, you know, is sad.
Which in the grand scheme of things isn't, you know.
But in the scheme, when you're looking at millions of people and, you know, obviously they died doing what they felt they believed in. And my whole thing is, you know, America needs to take a page out of their playbook, you know, in the sense of it's basically has been a nonviolent movement. And it just goes to, it gives me hope, though, that, you know, we can't, the human spirit can't be dampened.
Tony, I think that, you know, I really think that you can't not take a moment and, you know, say this is a happy thing for Egypt today. I mean, it really is incredible because I think a lot of people, honestly, were really nervous about what might happen today. I mean, between, you know, the Egyptian military and the protesters and which way this was going to go. Absolutely.
But they've been so focused and so, you know, the importance of the social media, everything, and people need to, you know, take a look, like I said, taking a page out of their playbook here in the sense that you still have power as an individual. You still can make a difference. And I think that's why I'm inspired by this. You know, and we need to stop putting it in terms of, the Arabs. You know, basically, Egypt is in Africa. Okay?
Yes, it is.
So let's get it away from that whole racist look.
Well, you're never going to get a job as a Fox News map maker, that's for sure.
No.
All right, Tony. Oh,
you are so funny.
I love you. Oh, I love you more than air. I can't breathe without you. Thanks, Tony.
You know, it's really the real winner here is the principles of nonviolence, because these protesters were so organized and so smart to keep things from getting violent, because violence was Mubarak's only hope. If anybody tried anything, they could put it down like Tiananmen Square and say we were keeping people safe, and it would have worked. And the protesters knew it, and they stayed peaceful. It's amazing to see. Mm. It's a validation of Gandhi and Thoreau and John Lennon all in one.
And although Jerry
Beck is very upset about it.
Jerry in Chicago, I think, to clarify one thing we can all agree on, and that is that George W. Bush deserves credit for this.
What?
Jerry in Chicago. Hello, Jer.
Hey, Staff, Mooks, everybody.
Yes. Clearly, this is George W. Bush's victory this morning.
Even though we didn't invade illegally.
You must have to know. You cannot even possibly act like this is not, Bush does not get some credit for this victory in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes.
He... he started that, you know, that ripple that we, you know, he even said himself while he was president a million times, that, you know, the Iraq war was going to be the ripple in the pond that would start the
so you
transformation of the Middle East.
So the illegal invasion of a country that posed no threat to us is what caused this directly.
And killing hundreds of thousands of people in the process.
As opposed to the WikiLeaks revelations, which made Tunisia revolt, which inspired the Egyptians.
Right.
It was actually a revelation of our crimes that led to this.
So go ahead and do that spinning. Go ahead. But keep spinning. You know what? Really,
but that's spending. Fact.
Spinning.
He would have been damned if he did, damned if he didn't, but he did Iraq.
But he's damned either way, yes.
It was such a bad idea. It was such a terrible travesty of national foreign policy.
Yeah,
but
it was.
Look at the amazing things that have happened.
Are you really saying you think the Iraq war caused this today? Seriously?
Absolutely.
It's really?
Can I ask you a question?
The idiot who called a minute ago, Flo, I just had to call. She just got my blood up. You cannot possibly say that George Bush did not cause this ripple effect.
Wow.
This
can I ask you a question?
Jerry, no, explain how George Bush caused this.
He said when he was invaded Iraq that this was going to cause the Middle
East. Well, people's freedom, by the way, was the 10th excuse down the list as to why we invaded Iraq.
Yeah, that's not why we went there, sir. We went there because our lives were threatened by WMDs.
Spin them out. I know you guys are going to do that. Spin. But
no, you're lying, man. That's not why we went, sir.
You would be giving him nothing but credit right now. And I just had to say this because you're going to be a liberal narrative and you have a bunch of callers asking me that can fuck me.
No, it's okay.
You cannot possibly say that this George Bush doesn't get some credit today. And we can all be proud as Americans
that legally invaded a country.
Well, then, Jerry, explain to me why Dick Cheney and Orrin Hatch and others think that we should prop Mubarak up if they're so with the pro-freedom. Apparently, they're only for the kind of freedom that comes at the end of an American gun.
Okay, you know.
All right. I've gone too far with my facts.
Can I ask you a question, Jerry?
We got to take a break. Okay. All right.
you taunt me, Steph. You pull down my pants and taunt me with that guy.
Sorry.
We can answer him when he comes back.
Yes.
How's that?
Yes. All right. But that happens sometimes with Jerry. Facts are like a taser for Jerry. It's like, okay.
You startle him.
He didn't know what to say. 17 minutes. It's the cattle prod of truth. Bend over. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fuglesang continues. John Fuglesang in the Boston Bureau of the Stephanie Miller Show at our fine station, the Revolution 1510 there in Boston.
It's hot up here in a not very hot kind of way.
Yes.
Compared to New York. All right. Well, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John, did you add some thoughts? Jerry in Chicago, of course, said that what we can all agree on is George Bush deserves really all the credit for what happened today.
Well, of course he can. Yeah, I'd like to point out that that none of your Republican friends, and we all have Republicans we love in our life, none of them, and Jerry, if you're listening, I'm talking to you, sweetie, you're not allowed to hate Saddam Hussein and love Ronald Reagan. Okay? It's that simple. Yeah. Reagan armed Hussein, armed him illegally. When Saddam gassed his own people, it was the Democrats and many Republicans who wanted to condemn him, and Reagan blocked that vote in the Senate. So, really, Saddam wasn't overthrown. He was fired. It just took him 12 years to clean out his own desk.
Right.
And if you're a constitutionalist, only the Congress can declare war, not the president. We haven't declared war since 1941, so you're not a conservative either. Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Guy in Detroit writes, Steph, love the show. You always mention how the modern Republican Party is not the same party of your dad and Barry Goldwater. Although I agree with you, this button from the 1964 campaign shows that there might be some similarities. And he says, I never saw this one. Stop socialism, vote for Goldwater Miller.
Oh, dear.
I hope my Republican brother doesn't get his hands on that.
That was probably Barry's idea, not your dad's.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's it.
That wasn't my dad, that was Barry.
And Barry said one day he'd be considered a liberal.
Yeah, exactly. And it's true. Here's, oh, you know Christine O'Donnell. Here's the thing. Cece and I, Barry Goldwater's granddaughter and I ran for president and vice president, as you know, Goldwater Miller 08.
Yeah, as a goof, you should do it for real.
I know! This is what I'm, this Christine O'Donnell, this is a scam, Jim. Why is there not a Steph PAC? For God's sake, why did I not ask for money when I ran for... This
exactly.
is an unbelievable
yeah.
scam.
Rent.
Calling herself the White House top opponent.
What?
Christine O'Donnell asked supporters to give money to CPAC this week, John. A group that she says will investigate and counterattack left-wing groups,
yes.
in part by funding her travel across the country to bring the battle to them.
For those who don't know, CPAC is like Tupac, except they're the rich white thugs.
Yes. Thank you. She said the reason the frantic White House dispatched Joe Biden again and again to campaign in Delaware was to defeat me, who they regard as their number one opponent.
Sure.
Oh,
Oh, yeah. You are a big deal for sure. Yes. She said donations will, quote, enable me to speak out in many venues from coast to coast, thereby helping support a nationwide effort. Me too! Give now to Steph PAC.
Mm-hmm.
Have we filed the necessary paperwork for that?
I don't know. Is there paperwork?
Yes.
Clarence Thomas doesn't do it. Why do I need to?
I'm falling down on the job, then.
Drunk dialer Jenny Thomas doesn't file paperwork. Yeah, O'Donnell, by the way, currently under investigation by the FBI for improperly using campaign funds to pay personal expenses.
And still doing it.
She also said the left keeps after him because they consider strong Republican women a danger to their status quo.
But weak, dumb Republican women are hilarious.
Right. Does she have a job or is she still...
This is her job!
This is her job!
She's brilliant!
Her job is to talk about how hard she works, so you'll give her money.
So she can keep working hard for
not
you.
Not working.
Doing... stuff that
yes.
she needs to get
so
paid
she can fight against the theory of evolution, even though Jesus didn't mention that.
Yes. All right. This is a little fun stack. Friday fun stack. 42-year-old Sandusky man told his wife he was going out for a pack of smoke Sunday morning and ended up with a lot of splaining to do. The man and a 49-year-old woman were found Sunday morning naked from the waist down in his car.
Hmm.
The man told the police he just met the woman at a homeless shelter. They went for a ride, and one thing led to another.
Yeah. And it's not Gingrich.
Like that doesn't happen to you. You go out for cigarettes and you end up
at the homeless shelter.
Naked with a homeless
person. Trolling for women at the homeless shelter.
But they're so grateful.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
All right. This is just an odd story. I just... Canadian man hit by train. Didn't know what hit him.
What, huh?
A man suffered non-life-threatening injuries. How does that happen? That's a really good news, bad news story.
Unless the
so you get hit by a train, but he wasn't injured?
Unless he got tapped.
The train is, like, moving very slowly into the station.
Is it like a kiddie train?
I don't know.
Like they have over in Griffith Park? I don't know.
I think it was the band train.
No.
Yeah, that's it was.
A witness saw the train hit the man, sending him up in the air. The man immediately got up and proceeded to walk northeast. I'm fine.
What's
I'm
that
fine.
All about, eh?
Was there alcohol involved?
Sounds like
Canada.
It.
Was it Bruce Willis in Unbreakable?
According to police, he did not seem to realize what hit him. He did, however, indicate he had pain in several parts of his body.
Man, Canada's got all the good drugs.
Yeah.
And they're cheaper.
They're cheaper, yeah.
What the hell was that? What the hell hit me?
Ow, stupid train.
Ow.
Ow.
That's going to bruise.
All right. Oh, boy.
Give me a serviette, eh? I think I got some diesel oil on the Chesterfield.
Okay, we played some delightful audio of a Mark Levin caller calling Michelle Obama fat.
Yes.
In right wing world.
I think Mark Levin should gain about 3 feet in height before he starts criticizing other people's body.
Anyway, all the fashion news yesterday was that was a $35 dress she was wearing on today's show that looked so fabulous.
That's right,
from H&M.
Yeah. They're the IKEA of clothing.
And Lindsay Lohan spent like a zillion dollars for that designer white, the hotsy-totsy Basic Instinct thing she wore, which was totally inappropriate for court.
At least we know she's not spending that much on jewelry.
She saves money there. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What was all that about me trading sexual favors for material gain?
It was a compliment.
By the way, I have to say this is some funny on Delisted about Lindsay Lohan. You were, John, you were talking about she apparently lifted a necklace.
Yes.
Looks like she wants a plea deal. Delisted writing, if any one of us walked out of a Zales with an unpaid tennis bracelet on our wrist, the alarm would go off. The fattest security guard in the mall would tackle us. We'd be dragged into the back room where they'd torture us by hovering an Orange Julius right below our mouth hole. Yet... Yeah, Lindsay will once again prove that the California justice system is the greatest in the world by not spending 1 minute in a prison cell. I'm not mad, though. If Lindsay stopped acting like a self-entitled bag of smug and actually followed the rules like everyone else, hundreds of court employees and police officers would be out of a job.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan are keeping the economy alive. True. LA,
you know,
was pretty much shut down.
When you get fired from the making of Deep Throat...
Yeah.
Stealing a necklace, not that big a deal. The actual coke-headed women in Deep Throat didn't get fired, but the rich woman in the making of Deep Throat gets fired.
Listen, we have more important breaking news, and that is, speaking of Charlie Sheen, John, how is he going to continue to afford giant bags of coke, for God's sakes? His divorce is final, according to TMZ, from Brooke. What could have gone wrong there, Jim? That's shocking.
Hookers and coke?
So maybe? He has to pay, let's see, her $55,000 a month in child support for their two kids, and he already pays $110,000 a month in child support toward Denise, who was his other wife, Denise
Richards
and yes, their two kids. And
it's a good thing he's the highest paid actor in America
for now.
Wow. And he has offered to pay one-third, I think this is a little cheap, frankly.
Yeah.
One-third of the Two and a Half Men's cruise salary of CBS and Warner Brothers will pay the rest. But they say no decision has been made at either company about whether to compensate the 300-member crew, which doesn't get paid. I mean, look, if you're going to, I'm sorry, screw up that much, you should,
that's
you're making that kind of money, you should pay for those people.
Yeah, exactly. That's not going to pay the rent for the cameramen or the sound people.
He's offered to pay a third if Warner Brothers pays the rest. I mean, first of all, Warner Brothers or CBS didn't screw up here. He did.
Yeah. Right.
And Chris and Jim, do you guys get paid when Steph goes off on a bender and disappears for 3 days?
See? Yes.
Bundles of cash arrive on my doorstep.
Yes.
Yes. Really weird.
Yes.
Listen, I pay them a pittance, but they continue to receive that pittance even
when you need to be fished out of a bus stop somewhere.
We just call you and pay you a pittance to fill in for me. All right, let's go to Ivan in Chicago on the joyous news from Egypt this morning. Hi, Ivan.
Hey, Steph. Hey, here's the most amazing thing. In both Tunisia and Egypt, the dictators were brought down without any guns.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No bombs, yep.
Now, just think how many people would have died if they would have had guns.
Well, listen, Jerry, your friend in Chicago, said that apparently the only right way to bring freedom is with lots of guns and bombs, the way George Bush did it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
Right.
Yes, that's the only legitimate kind of freedom.
Sure.
This doesn't count.
We didn't blow nothing up. That's boring.
How's that?
Come on.
It's no shock, no awe, no nothing.
Where's the manhood?
Yeah, they only want regime change if it's from a Jerry Bruckheimer film.
Right.
Can I have my fashion music, please? First Lady Michelle Obama. Who I think is gorgeous.
Yeah, she
By
is.
By the way, I would look like crap in a $35 dress. Stop it. $35, H&M. She wore, it was a breezy feminine polka dot piece. Let's see, blah, blah, blah. $34.95 from H&M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although her stylist customized the look by adding 3/4 length sleeves and pairing the dress with a bold orange belt. In lieu of the original red sash.
Okay, so taking it to the tailor costs more than the actual dress itself.
No, it didn't. They just put a couple things on it. It's no big deal. She has also donned $10 t-shirts from The Gap, sundresses from Target, and is known to favor mid-range chain stores like J. Crew. And she still looks fabulous, Mark Levin. Shut up! Yeah, she can. You know what I'd look like? She wore like bright yellow shoes with that dress.
Oh, no.
With a blue polka dot dress. Who looks good in that? Nobody. Just her.
You shouldn't do bright colors.
Oh, can you imagine me in a polka dot dress and yellow shoes? Oh, dear God. And first, I have huge feet.
Really?
Yes. Yes. All right.
That seems a little frilly for you. You don't do frilly.
I don't do frilly.
No.
No.
But did you wear open-toed shoes in the snow?
I did.
Yeah.
Once in Washington. I went for the inauguration. I wore open-toed because I was from L.A. I was like, oh, my God, what? I was like, where? Jim, this is huge. Donald Trump.
Huge.
Oh, yeah.
Huge.
He got a raucous reception at the CPACL there, the conservative thing that they have in Washington, when he dangled a potential candidacy before thousands of conservatives.
Going for the family values vote.
Yeah, he said the U.S. is becoming the laughingstock of the world.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, with that hair, he said that.
Yeah, apparently Barack Obama has totally ruined the fabulous sterling reputation that George Bush gave.
Everything was perfect before he came along. Now it's ruined. Hugely ruined.
I think America would elect him in 2012 just so they could say you're fired in 2016.
You're fired.
Yeah. It'd be worth it.
Exactly. Trump brought down the House, created a circus-like atmosphere, even upstaging a surprise appearance by Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Who got booed.
Yeah.
The Rand Paul supporters called him a war criminal.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he called them a black kettle.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Oh dear God! Camille Grammer is free. She's free.
No, she's very, very expensive.
Speaking of divorce settlements, delisted writing in a mirrored dance studio somewhere in Beverly Hills, Camille Grammer is doing the Cabbage Patch while a shower of $100 bills falls all around her.
Wow.
Her divorce is final. Kelsey Grammer has filled her wheelbarrow and shovel with $30 to $50 million. Camille also has enough money to buy her original face back. Oh,
yeah.
That's
true.
TMZ is the first to bring us the news that Kelsey and Camille's messed up divorce has successfully sprinted to the finish line just in time for him to marry the future ex-Mrs. Grammer, Katie Walsh. Right, well.
They finally found a way to make Camille Grammer less interesting.
And because I have to chew up moments of your life with this, Brendan Fraser got a $16 pedicure and left a $60 tip.
Good for him.
Oh, like that makes up for George of the Jungle?
I do not tip enough, George, I can tell you right now, to handle this hammer toe and these Sasquatch feet I have.
He was also in Crash, so, you know, it's mitigating.
Wait a minute, which Crash?
The one that won Best Picture and beat Brokeback Mountain.
Okay.
Nobody liked. Not the David Lynch creepy film.
No, it was David Cronenberg.
I mean, David Cronenberg, yeah. Sorry. Confusing my creepy Daves.
David Cronenberg creepy film?
Why?
Really?
Huh.
No, you don't say.
I do. The Bristol Palin Kathy Griffin cat fight continues. Bristol Palin spoke with E! Okay. She was asked what she thought about Griffin's incessant teasing of her family, which has included flirting with Levi Johnson, making fun of her weight by calling her the white precious, and saying she gained 30 pounds in 1 week. She said, it didn't hurt my feelings because it was coming from Kathy Griffin, of all people, and I think it shows her immaturity.
Well, that's her job.
Yeah, that's her stock in trade.
Yes. And it's weird also that she would pick on my weight. She's just had botched liposuction procedures and stuff like that, so it's weird she would pick on something like that for another woman. Oh, meow. Oh, heaven.
That's great.
Sorry, Jim, what network was it on? Maria and Phoenix, you're on the
line. Hello, good morning.
Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi, I wanted to get your opinion on something. I was watching the news this morning about Egypt and how some of the protesters were moving to protest.
Yes, they were chanting, thank you, George Bush. Did you hear?
No. Yeah. Well, they were protesting against the state news building.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, you know, because they were saying that as far as the protest was concerned, a lot of the people didn't get that on the news, that they were getting more of the NBA information during the protest. So I was wondering, do you ever think that kind of protest can occur here in a big fashion against corporate media?
Yeah, oh, you're saying we should do the same thing here?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, well, as John Fugelsang said, until Jersey Shore is over,
once
we
Jersey
can't
Shore's
be expected to do anything.
Once Jersey Shore's marathon is over, we'll get in the streets.
We can't be expected to get excited about that just yet.
Yeah. Karl Marx said religion was the opium of the people. He could not have imagined 500 cable channels and porn on demand.
Yeah.
Wow, this is the best edition so far of the healthcare PBS.
Right-wing hypocrites!
So, you know, all these Republicans that ran on repealing healthcare, they're taking their own government healthcare, you see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mean the real socialist healthcare?
Yes. So they've been asked if they will continue to accept government-managed and subsidized health care while voting to strip funding from regular citizens. Bill Posey, Republican of Florida, Think Progress recently spoke with him. He was, by the way, the sponsor of the original birther bill, that guy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We asked the congressman if he plans to turn down government-subsidized health insurance for himself in light of his push to repeal health reform. Here's his response. I don't know. Am I a federal employee? No. Well, I know one thing.
Oh, God.
Oh, he doesn't even not even certain if he's a federal employee or not.
Wow.
Okay, well.
Computer says yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number one, yes. And number two.
Makes Michelle Bachmann look like a genius.
Wow, wow, wow. All right. Oh, boy.
Yeah, what's your favorite?
Go ahead.
What's your favorite Michelle Bachmann lie? I'm just curious. Do we have a favorite?
I don't.
Hello, she lied.
No, just pick anything. By the by, we talked to Adam Smith earlier this morning who visited Gabrielle Giffords. You know, somebody wrote me, and because, you know, they're trying to be very private about exactly where she's at, but a listener, and I don't know if he would have answered that, but she was asking, does she know what happened to her yet? Is she aware, you know, because apparently she is talking and, you know, the recovery
she
is.
She asked for toast.
Yeah, no, I know. And so, but I, you know, you are curious as to whether she's aware of what happened and what she said about that or, you know, it's like all the levels of recovery, emotional and otherwise, are sort of like mind boggling. But it amazes me that these stories just continue. Republican Representative Ray Berg is his name. Federal judges should be on the endangered species list. Just 1 month after Judge John Roll was murdered, waiting to speak with Gabrielle Giffords, Republican colleague Denny Rayberg, R-E-H, Rayberg, used an address to the Montana State Legislature to make a thinly veiled threat against another federal judge.
Wow.
He said environmental obstructionists found a federal judge in Missoula that was willing to ignore the scientific evidence as well as the expert opinions of on-the-ground wildlife managers here in Montana, and he ruled last August that the gray wolf had to remain on the endangered species list. When I first heard his decision, like many of you, I wanted to take action immediately. I asked, how can we put some of these judicial activists on the endangered species list? I'm still working on that. His choice of words, of course, inexcusable. His speech is made all the more bizarre because of his claim to oppose judicial activism. Immediately after railing against such activism, he praised a recent judge's decision declaring the Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, even though that decision is riddled with factual and legal errors, writes an entire provision of the Constitution out of the document, and thumbs its nose at binding Supreme Court precedent. So, he included a thinly veiled death threat against a federal judge. Nice, nice, nice. All right. I have more along those lines, sadly, as we continue. 46 minutes after the hour, we continue the waning moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. John, you missed the biggest story of the week, and that was, of course, the Harry Ball story from Fort Wayne, Indiana. They were there was a little controversy over the whether to name a building after the famous mayor, Harry Balls, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, which included some a lot of news reports on television.
Well, Heather, Mark, the people voted, and the top pick so far with more than 10,000 votes is the Harry Balls Government Center, named after one of the city's longest-serving mayors, but not everyone's on board with that name.
And that reporter was immediately
sacked. Apparently was a great mayor. That's what I'm hearing. If you read the comments, actually, people are very serious about what he did as mayor. The family was, you know, it's part of our history.
The Balls family.
Part of the history we're proud of.
The Harry Balls
to pick the
family.
New name for the building, people went over to feedbackfortwayne.org. They made suggestions and voted. The overwhelming front runner was the Harry Balls Government Center.
What's the teabagger say about this?
Yeah. Hang on, scratch that. We have breaking news out of Egypt.
Okay. Oh, right. Poor Harry's old and wrinkled now.
It's the Fuzzy Scrotum Building.
I guess they named it something more appropriate. Like Fuzzy Scrotum. Okay. Oh, we love that story.
How's it?
Could not get enough of that story.
Well, it's my understanding.
They just do not want to slap balls on a building like that.
Well, when's it going to drop?
It's my understanding that there's also a Harry Balls Drive in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and so you really can't have two balls.
No.
No.
No. Okay.
Well, if you're Hitler, but that's...
Okay. Wow. Sharon Engel has gotten so much more polished.
Speaking of.
Speaking of Harry Balls and Hitler. What?
Asked in a hallway interview why she was at CPAC, she said, Why am I here?
Yeah. Keep the Mexicans out.
She's Admiral Stockdale.
Who am I? Why am I here?
I'm not really sure either, Sharon. But
oh,
God
bless
you.
Let her run
bless
for president.
Heart.
Please let her run. Put her in the cage match, please.
Wasn't her last gig at a makeup convention, a cosmetics convention?
Yes. Sharon Angle's Beauty Secrets.
And everyone quit the union.
Okay.
They're very secretive, whatever those beauty secrets are. I'd say they're
invisible. Those are the best kept secrets in the world.
Yeah. Well, she's there to advise the GOP on how to alienate the Latino vote even more.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's
let her do her work.
Mm-hmm. The House Republicans have again postponed a vote to renew portions of the Patriot Act, this time to allow for freshmen to get up to speed on the measure. Meaning have their heads knocked together like Shemp and Curly. All right. Oh, Drunky McPuke Shoes news.
What?
Former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay's lawyers asking for a new trial in his corruption case. Good job. Challenging his conviction on charges of money laundering and conspiracy to commit money laundering.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
I hope he brought his little red shoes to prison.
His little white shoes.
Oh, the white?
Yeah,
white.
They're little white shoes.
Oh,
okay.
The Aryans will eat him alive.
Ah, boy. Former Bush strategist Karl Rove is urging congressional Republicans to use Democrats' own tax against them to force repeal of the... He wants them to use reconciliation to repeal the health care.
Oh, that reconciliation he was so opposed to?
I am not one of your fans!
Speaking of prison, Jim, what is that main question that always pops to mind when Karl Rove pops up?
Why is he not trading cigarettes for his life?
In prison.
Yes.
Yeah. Why again? Is he not?
And tapping Morse code love letters to Condi in the next cell.
Yeah.
All right. Boy. Yes, these Republicans. This is the... we have a timeline of Tim Pawlenty's evolving homophobia.
Oh, good.
We had an earlier Republican warning of gay pirates marauding in Tampa.
Arr, that'd be a fabulous window treatment, it'd be.
Yoo-hoo,
a pirate's life for me.
On Monday, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty doubled down on last month's promise to reinstate Don't Ask, Don't Tell of elected president, rescinding the funds necessary to implement the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Is a reasonable step? The position consigns him, of course, to a fringe of the Republican Party, whose members back the repeal by a considerable margin. But, it has a whole magical timeline of how he's gotten more... homophobic over time. You know, there was this great piece, John, I was talking about in CNN.com this week about, obviously the Bush daughter and the Cheney, and the, McCain daughter, everybody coming out for gay marriage.
Yes.
He makes an interesting point. He said the Bushes and Cheneys are free to support marriage equality all they want because their time in the White House is over and no GOP Republican hopeful wants to be too closely associated with them anyway. They can appear to have turned a new leaf when in reality they probably didn't have a problem with marriage equality in the first place. It just wasn't politically advantageous to say as much. So Barbara Bush, if you're reading this, he writes, so welcome to the party. I do hope you stay a while. I would say better late than never, but the truth is marriage equality is one of those parties hardly anyone in your position shows up for early anyway. I think the point of the article is you know, what is the president going to do when he's getting flanked by all these Republicans on gay marriage?
Well, exactly. I mean, you got to have to drag. I mean, this is more proof that Obama's not a liberal, folks. You know, he's a moderate. When your friends say he's a filthy liberal socialist, no, he isn't. He is to the right of Dick Cheney on marriage equality. And really, if you're a Republican, why the hell don't you support gay marriage if you believe in freedom, if you believe in the government not being in our lives? And from a Christian level, find me one thing Jesus ever said about it. Jesus never mentioned gay people or abortion or premarital sex. He talked about it as much as he talked about NASCAR.
What did he say about that?
Nothing.
All right. One last one. Boy, oh boy. Alabama state senator advises politicians to empty the clip to stop undocumented immigrants.
Oh boy.
This past Saturday, Alabama state Republican. Senator Scott Beeson gave a speech at a Republican Party breakfast on the topic of immigration, how he believes lawmakers can resolve the issue. One solution he provided was suggesting lawmakers empty the clip and stop undocumented immigrants from destroying the U.S. economy. He now insists his comments were taken
out of context.
Out of context, of course, and he was using an analogy, not urging violence.
No,
how would you
not.
Say that's gun rhetoric? That's ridiculous. That's crazy. Oh, boy.
Into the clip.
So much for
like a paperclip.
So much for the new era of civility. All right, that's it for us. JohnFugelsang.com, is that the website?
That's the website.
Check it out. You can learn all things Fugle Sanging. And Monday, of course, Rude Pundit, Eric Bollard, and Edie McClurg. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.